Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we want to continue in our thoughts about the way in which the disciples, particularly Peter, was journeyed, brought through to being in the place that God really wanted him to be. We're very aware that Jesus discipled people, so he didn't just call them and then leave them to flounder and find out what they were going to do. He gave them education, as it were. He gave them experiences, teaching, took them into places where they would observe and see things that would never, ever be forgotten. And there is a night when Jesus had broken bread with the disciples, and he talked about the bread being his body and the cup of wine as a symbol of his blood. And he makes that journey into the Garden of Gethsemane. And all of them go into the Garden of Gethsemane, the 12, but there seems to have been a point where Jesus takes Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, a little deeper into the garden. Now, if you go to Israel today, you can see the Garden of Gethsemane, but it's not as big as it was in Bible days. It's been narrowed down a bit. And so we need to just remember, it's not what you see with your physical eye when you go to Israel, but you have to picture that as part of a much larger garden that would have allowed degrees of entry. So you could just be in it, you could be a bit further in it, you could be absolutely in the depths of it. And there is Jesus in the garden, and he said, Peter, James and John, just travel with me a little more. And the Bible says Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now, we don't know exactly what they understood, but Jesus was wanting to share with them how he was. And part of discipleship isn't just being trained to be what God wants you to be, but part of it is discovering Jesus to be who he is. In fact, we saw that in the previous program when we talked about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and said that was primarily for Jesus, not for the disciples. Well, here again, this is very much Jesus looking for some comfort, looking for close friends who would be with him at a most terrible hour of his life. And we have described the whole agony of prayer, seeking the face of Father, knowing what's going to happen, seeking that confirmation, that sense of, yes, you do have to take this journey, there is no other way. It's hard to fully grasp, but I think what we're seeing here is Jesus truly man and Jesus truly God. And in his humanity, there is a struggle about the implications of agony and pain and suffering, being the sin bearer of the world. He's feeling that. It would be odd if he didn't. That is one of the things that shows us he's truly, truly man. But what we're also aware of is that Peter, James and John, I wonder if they could hear those cries. Hebrews talks about strong cries. I wonder if they heard that agony, because one of the strange things is that they actually fall asleep as well. They're exhausted. But Jesus has shared this precious moment and comes to the place where he says, Father, not my will, your will be done. And that's going to be very significant for Peter, James and John, and indeed for all of us. We must pause for some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will come alongside and we'll look a little more into this event, this special event for Peter and James and John.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward. I've joined Richard now to look further at this story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, accompanied by Peter, James and John. And we're looking particularly at the effect on Peter. And we find this in Matthew chapter 26 from verse 36. We're obviously nearing the end of Jesus' ministry, earthly ministry at this point. Did Peter understand more of what it was all about and what his role was going to be, do you think?
No, not at this point. I don't think he'd fully grasped it, because he's declaring, I'll never deny you. But within a very short space of time, he'll do that three times. So I think, as we said in a previous program, Peter's heart's in a good place. but his emotions are all over the place. Mm. And I think that comes out here.
So Jesus invites him and the others to go with him to what is going to be an incredibly personal moment for Jesus. And yet, just before, he had almost rebuked Peter and said, look, you're going to deny me. So he was questioning Peter's loyalty, and yet he still invited him into the garden. So Jesus obviously had a sense of Peter, that Peter was going to turn out all right.
Yes, I think so. I mean, in another place he says, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Mm. But he says, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Well, it looks as if his faith did fail, but in actual fact it didn't. Mm. Because there was no capitulation. There was a moment of weakness, a very low point. Mm. But Peter did come good.
Yeah. So, again, Jesus invites them with him to this very special moment between him and God. For whose benefit? For Jesus' benefit? You talked about the way Jesus gave them various experiences as part of their training. Was this part of that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, if you read the whole passage and the whole events, he talks about watch and pray that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he's indicating my flesh is under challenge here. My physical being is under challenge. And you need to learn that you're also going to go through times of big challenge. It's not going to be easy for you to follow me. And yet, of course, for Jesus himself, this is the crunch moment. It's like he's known all along this is where it's heading. Mm. But of course, he's hours away from actually facing it.
Yeah.
And that's always powerful.
Mm. But for Peter, James and John, I wonder how they felt, because this was a point of failure for them, wasn't it? They fell asleep three times or however many.
Yes, I mean, it is difficult, isn't it, to know quite what was going on. I guess it indicates that this is very late. So they're sleepy because it's not like it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
No,
it's definitely probably going into the early hours, and maybe 2-3 in the morning, something like that.
And they presumably still didn't really have any idea of what was to come.
Not really. They just wouldn't have been able to think about it. You know, if it was sown in their minds, it would be, yeah, but I'll think about that later. I can't think about it now.
Yeah. What was the impact, do you think, on Peter as he might perhaps look back on this later in his life?
I believe the overwhelming impact would be to see how incredible Jesus was, to know what he was going to face. No illusions, no head in the clouds. He knew what he was going to face, and he faced it. He did it. And that surely stuck in the mind of Peter for the rest of his life, as indeed it does us.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk. Thank you.